Happy 2024. Oh my gosh. And welcome to Organizing with Ease podcast, episode 87. I'm Deanna Mall with Dees Declutter.
And I'm Zenit Seaman with Firefly Bridge Organizing.
This is where we talk about ways to make organizing easy so we can live our daily lives with less stress. It's true that it's never too late to start planning, but it's also never too early.
Oh yeah.
So whether you sort of made a plan for the year or you're already feeling a little bit behind, Zine and I want to help you kickstart your year by giving you some tips and ideas of how to plan out your entire year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know about you, Zine, but I have to tell you, I do, of course, as organizers that we are, but I also do it for my personal life. And it's actually kind of nice and refreshing to do it every year, is to reflect on my own past year. So looking back at 2023, and I think about like the highs and the lows, mm-hmm. and what brought me joy and what I faced, like what I, you know, where I did I face my challenges? What lessons did I learn from them? Both success and setbacks in my personal life. And then I actually go into like, sometimes I go way deep down in understanding what truly matters to me and what my core values are, what aspects of my life, be it for my career, my relationship, health, or personal growth, that hold the most significance for me. So I really start there when I start setting my goals out for the new year. Do you start similar with that or no?
Similarly, definitely, like you said, reflecting on what worked and what didn't last year gives me a starting point. I think, I mean, the other thing is before setting goals, maybe we want to think about setting the vibe that we want for the year. So, you know, for example, if we want more calm every day and less rush, then you ask yourself, well, what has to happen for me to feel that calm every day, right? So you look at, like you said, you look at your personal life, your work life. Is it something, you know, do you need less rushed mornings to make you feel calmer? Do you need a more predictable work day so you can actually shut down and leave by a certain time of day, by 6 p.m.? Or, you know, do you need to always have something to look forward to? I kind of need that, like a small trip or a big trip, you know, big family, you know, vacation. Something each quarter, or it could be something like, you know, tickets to a show with some friends or with my husband each month, having something to look forward to. Those, maybe those things help you feel calmer. And so when you understand the vibe that you want for the year, then you can start asking yourself those questions and you can start then naturally deciding, well, what has to happen for me to get there? Does that make sense? Sound kind of like what you do too, right? I mean,
yes. No, yeah, that's why. Right. Exactly. So yeah, I do ask those questions.
Yeah.
And then from there, I start answering. And I actually like to write everything down, but I actually use the SMART method.
Okay.
And so for those of you that know the SMART method, each of the letters start, you know, mean something. So S is for specific, 2 is for measurable, 3 is achievable. And then, you know, it goes on and on. So I actually go through all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's basically setting the guide. So, you know, like an example for me is so that I can process and make sure that I, and I write it down. Like that for me, I have to write everything down because then I have the R for relevant and then the T for time bound. And so we are then ready to go. And so for me, I use it both professionally and in my personal life. And it's for me, my goal setting tool. Okay. And so it also helps me stay organized and focused. So when I do set my goals out, I make sure that I follow the SMART criteria, which allows me to be, I guess, more intentional about my efforts. So that's why I have to write it down. So basically, I'll give you a good example for this year coming up, right? Yeah. It's, I've set a goal for myself on a personal level, not on a business level, that I'm going to, you know, exercise a lot more. Not that I didn't do it year before in 2023, but this year I'm going to. But then I have to say, okay, exercising what? So now I've actually broken it down to, I'm going to now be exercising 3 days a week, 3 days a week for 45 minutes. So So I've already given myself in my head, wrote it down, jotting down 3 days a week, I'm going to go to the gym. Done. Set that time up. And then I put it down in paper because I know that you're digital, but I do both. But when I write things down in paper, I feel like there's a power to writing that sentence down. And I do have my, I have my physical planner, where I do jot down my goals and my aspirations for the year, which was I already actually started doodling my little notes and stuff like that already in December of 2023. Mm-hmm. So that starting this year, 2024, I had like a quote unquote jump start on so I could already break that format of, oh my gosh, I have all that. No stress, relief. I am going to continue. One of the things that I do continue, right? About this last year is I truly believe in journaling and I do believe also in meditation. So that is going to be a carryover in my goals as well, not to lose that mindset because it's all about mindset and keeping calm and staying focused because, you know, life can get ahead of itself and you need to take care of yourself. Self-care. It's all about self-care. So
Totally. And so, I mean, that was a really good example of setting a SMART goal. You know, you're going to every week, you know, very time bound that you're going to every week. Exercise 3 times a week for 45 minutes. And it's achievable. You're going to do that. You're going to set aside time to be able to do that and focus on it. Yeah. Right. So like you start broad, you looked at what worked last year, what didn't work this year. You looked at what you want to accomplish this year. You look at your theme, your focus for this year is maybe it's self-care. And from there, you funnel down to the individual goals that you want for the year. And one of them would be exercising 3 times a week. And then there are others. And yeah, I think that's pretty much, I think, what we're talking about here. You start broad and then you funnel down into very specific goals. I think a lot of people do goal setting differently, but it's basically the same process of reflection and then thinking about overall what you want to accomplish for the year before you start writing down random, goals, random whatever it is, numbers and times and things like that. Just really think about the overall. So, the example, like I said, is if you want to feel more calm in your everyday for the coming year, maybe one of the things you want is less rushed mornings. And that's a pretty broad idea. I just want less rushed mornings. I didn't say, well, I'm going to wake up at 5:30 every day. And because waking up at 5:30 already creates a very strict rule. And some people thrive on those types of rules for themselves and others just don't. Because while like everyone can be prepared to attend, to get to appointments on time and meetings on time and that kind of thing, sometimes the internal rules that we have for ourselves are really hard for us to stick to. And for me, for example, I say, wake up 5:30 every morning. Well, that's a huge stretch and it might be unrealistic because I can't get to bed earlier the night before. So I'm already thinking then, well, I'm going to fail at that one, but still I'm writing it down because I think that that's the only way to get to a less rushed morning. But like we mentioned, you try starting with broader ideas and you will find ways to reach those the vibe that you want, the goal that you want, without setting unrealistic goals for yourself. And, your goals naturally fall out of those broader ideas. I want a vibe of being more calm. Well, what does that look like for me? Well, that means my mornings have to be a little more planned out. So how do I get to a more planned out morning? Okay, it might be waking up earlier, but maybe that's not a reality because I can't get to bed earlier the night before. So then my options might be a little different. My options might be set out my clothes and the kids' clothes the night before, plan out my breakfast and lunches for the week. And it doesn't always mean that I'm going to have a home cooked or home prepped lunch. It might mean I'm going to buy ready to eat salad kits for every day of the week. That's it. And I'm done. But you will know what you need. And then you can drill down even further. How do you make your outfit selection easier? Maybe you want to have more of a uniform wardrobe, a la Steve Jobs or Matilda Kahl. Or maybe you don't want as uniform as that, but you want a rotation wardrobe, you know, button-down shirt, blazer, jeans most days. But you know that you can do variations of that. It might be a sweater instead of a blazer. It might be a skirt one day. You've already got an idea. So you're not, you don't have to make as many decisions every morning about what, you know, every night before, so that you know what tomorrow morning's outfit will be like. And so, you know, and that might be a fun thing to look forward to, creating some outfit ideas, going through your closet and so on. But if that doesn't sound like fun, well, then you get to keep it simple. You can choose to wear just only what you like, what you feel good in, and you put those things in the front of your closet and that's it. So I hope that all makes sense, that goal setting is about first starting with broader ideas and broader thoughts of what you want your vibe to be like for the year, what you want your accomplishments to be for the year. And we're not talking about, you know, Deanna was saying, we're not talking about just work accomplishments. We're talking about in your life. What does that look like for you?
Yeah. Well, actually, you said calm, you could also start. There's really like, you're just really the first time really like sitting down and trying to actually achieve the goals and get the vibe, like you had mentioned. You could start by picking up just one word that would encompass how you want to approach the new year, mm-hmm. 2024, right?
Right.
And then, like you said, you take that one word. It could be, I don't know, fun. It could be excitement. It could be calm. It could be peace. It could be discipline. It could be, you know, a new spiritual life. And then from there, you break it down. And then just because when you break down your goals into smaller tasks, you're trying to avoid that feeling of being overwhelmed. And that's why I like to break each one that I've written down into smaller, more actual tasks so that there is more of that step-by-step approach. So you talked about the closet. So, you know, the same applies to actually like, you know, my home office, the office that seems to be everybody's, you know, go-to place, but, but now we have our boundary set that we got, outlined last year. So we're all good. And now, you know, now it's the kitchen time. So the kitchen's going to be being taken care of this year as well. Setting deadlines is for me personally, setting a deadline is crucial for me because then I actually have something that I have. I'm like, okay, I've written this down, you know, January the 15th, I need to start this and I'm going to have like 3 months out. So I'm going to write it down. But I know that this is like a step-by-step approach for me. And that's what makes the journey so much more manageable. And that's where the overwhelming doesn't come into play because I know that I have written it out. And again, that's why I need to write things down. I need to write it down. I need to see it on paper to make that a realistic timeline for each of my goals. And then, you know, I check up on it as well. You know, I celebrate my achievements, my small victories. I'll make it a point to celebrate each milestone, actually, and being like, okay, you know what? I did it. I reinforced that positive energy
needed to keep going
to push forward. But then also, you know, at the end of the day, life is just really dynamic. And I just have to say, if you schedule, so I look back, I actually review what I've written. You can actually do it. I mean, I do it on a monthly basis. Some people do it quarterly. Just to ensure that goals remain in sync. Like, because that's where we lose that momentum, right?
Yeah.
So January, February, March, everyone is gung-ho. Like, we are so into it, right? We've got our goals. We got the calendar. We're really ready to go. We got that everyday schedule, you know, with the kids again. We're just re-energized. But then what happens, come spring break, come in the school, we kind of lose sight of that. But if you keep it on a regular where you definitely write it down, okay, in the calendar you have, okay, let's review your goals. Write it down. Lovely. In the calendar, write it down. Review the goals. But then again, I have to say, Zenit, I have to stay flexible and just totally true to myself. So above all, if I stay flexible, I know my sanity is there. I'm really good to go because as we all know, plans change. Life is just, you know, all sorts of alignments of just like, wow moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But once I get back on track, it's all good and you feel really good about everything. So, you know, That's my idea and my take of the goal setting for us for this year. That's for me. So
perfect. Well, so now a big part of planning is having, like you said, a game plan to achieve those goals. So having a good system to use your calendar can make that happen, can move those goals forward, right? So I happen to like time blocking. If you haven't heard of it, time blocking is simply...
We love time blocking.
So it's simply a time management technique that has you divide your day into blocks of time. And you dedicate each block to a task or a group of tasks or to-dos. And when you do time blocking, your calendar functions both as your calendar and as your to-do list, which is why I like it. In my quest for simplicity, this is the way to go for me. The fewer apps or lists that I need to keep track of, the better it is for me. So I'm using one app. I use my calendar and I keep track of everything that I need to do. Cal Newport, he's the author of Deep Work. He writes that he estimates a 40-hour time-blocked work week results in the same output as a 60-hour work week that lacks any structure. Okay, now he's talking about his work, but I believe that the same is true for our entire lives, and because we've got more than work on our calendars. And in my time block calendar, sure, I would have blocks to complete work, but I also have blocks for my own, what I call my non-negotiables that have nothing to do with work. Things like, you know, having pizza, popcorn, and movie night with my family every Friday night, or shopping time. In fact, my husband and I blocked out time tonight for us to do a little bit of shopping that we have to do together to pick something out. And so I see four big benefits of time blocking. First, it helps you to get those priorities done. So you've done your goal planning, you know what you want to accomplish each year for the year, you know what you want to accomplish for the quarter, and then you break it down to what you want to accomplish for the week and for the day. So when I set up my time blocks, I first put in my non-negotiables, like I said, time with my family, but then the high priority work or personal goals, those go on there first. And then I fill in with the highest priority goals for the week. And then I continue filling in with everything else. But I front load my highest priorities, meaning the important stuff goes on the beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday. So then I'm sure that they get done before I kind of lose steam at the end of the week, because by Friday, I'm like, oh, guys, I'm ready for the weekend. Friday morning feels right. Like I'm ready for the weekend. So that's the first big benefit, helps you get priorities done. The second is that it helps you track how you're using your time, how you're spending your time. I think most people actually over or underestimate how long it takes them to do something. So, but when you time block, you can track how much you actually get done in that block of time, and then you adjust for the next day or the next week that you have to do something like that. Third, it helps to cut down on multitasking, which most of us do very badly. We waste a lot of time thinking that we're multitasking, and it takes us more time to do any single task when we do it that way. And fourth, it helps us to gain a sense of control because it reduces procrastination. And over time, you'll see that you're getting more of the important stuff done. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what time blocking is. There's a little more to it to set it up well, but that's the idea. And the most important thing I think we have to remember is that time blocking helps us to get stuff done more quickly because we don't get distracted. And like I said, we don't procrastinate, which then frees up more of our time, but not so that we can do more work, but so that we can then, we have that time to do more of the stuff that we want, spending time with our family, with our friends and our hobbies, our interests, things like that. So how do you use your calendar, Deanna? Sort of the same?
Yes. So I actually do the same, do the time blocking, whereby, you know, dividing the day, mm-hmm. my days, you know, into two blocks of time. And then into those blocks, I dedicate so that I can, you know, accomplish a specific task.
Yeah.
You know, as you had done yourself, which, so yeah, I agree with that. I also do task batching. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know about you, but emails are just overwhelming. So I actually will just be like, okay, you know, all of my emails, I'm going to answer at like 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. So I kind of give a gauge on that. So yeah. I do like task batching as well.
Yeah.
Then I also try to do I don't know, I guess you can call it daydreaming if you wanted to give it a title of some sort.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
You know, on a business note, Zena, you and I, every Monday, we have a date. So I know that
Monday,
that is
right.
Monday is our day together.
Podcasting
so
day.
Every Monday, I will focus on podcast. That's it. Mm-hmm. Right. Content creation. That's on my day theme. That's on the business side. On the personal side, I have Mondays as well carved out for all the other schedules that I have going on with my husband and with my kids and with every. So I like that. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Those are my day theming. I definitely take that out. Make sure I get that done. And it works out really, really well. I do like that. One thing that I do also like is I like sharing my calendar with my family because it's very important. Now, yes, I do have a paper planner, which I totally love. Don't get me wrong. But I do believe in sharing the calendar, especially, and they have access to it so that they can add, or if there's schedule changes, it's just easy to just be like on point, be like, oh yeah, yeah, right.
We all have this to do on
so,
Saturday.
Right. Whatever. So let's just don't forget. So, and I, as I don't know about using it, but I like setting reminders and alerts.
Oh yeah.
This is really important to me. Making sure that when I'm putting my inputs, like I just said about in events or tasks, that I set a reminder to receive notifications in advance. Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Yep.
That's very important to me. Making sure that I totally don't forget anything.
Well, let me tell you what I've forgotten.
And then I actually categorize, but wait, then I also categorize my reminders based on urgency. So
okay.
You have it.
Okay. Because
yes.
I have forgotten to pick up my child from school after school because I didn't have the reminder pop up.
Yep. There you go.
And so, super important.
Yep. Yeah, super important.
We've all been there.
Yep. We've all been there. Yes. Yeah. Or you're at one school and you forgot the other child because the other child has early release and you're like, oh my gosh, what day is
exactly.
the day?
Exactly. Yes. Or, that's exactly what
yes.
happened.
And, yeah. Yes. And then I have Eddie, my little guy who has, a stand in hair appointment and groomers. And I'm like, oh, wait, that was for Eddie. That's not for my daughter. Oh, gosh. Wait a second. Wrong place. Wrong time.
Wrong
so,
school.
Yeah. Wrong. Just everything wrong. then you ask yourself, oh, it's going to be just one of those days. It's going to be one of those days.
Well,
right?
And you're, the family calendar, we've talked about this before. Like, how important
right.
is it that everyone sees once your kids are of a certain age and they can look at a calendar, it's so important for them to see where you are and what family activities are planned because they need to know too. Okay, when can I meet with my friends? When can I meet with my teacher after school? Well, you can't meet this day because you have a doctor's appointment. So plan it for a different day. So it's so simple. We give them so much more power to be independent when we share the family calendar with them as well. So absolutely,
oh, yes.
I agree with you there.
Yes, absolutely. And also, I don't know about you, but we definitely have to regularly update the digital calendar with any changes or new commitments just so that we are all in sync, but just making sure that all systems are syncing. So like, make sure that if somebody makes a change on the calendar, making sure that it syncs with all the other calendars is really key. Finding that balance, what really works for you. So I don't know, just for me, it's just all around, it's all good.
We all use Google calendars. And so we're able to see each other's calendars as long as we allow sharing, then everyone in the family can see what's going on in everybody else's calendar. Like I said, for the kids, it's really important for them to see where my husband and I are at, what time do we have a meeting? What time are we at a client? Whatever the case may be, what time are we at an appointment? So that they know when we're available and when we're not. And that's... we need the same from them now that they're, older. They're planning stuff also on their own. And so we need to know that so that we don't double book ourselves. So, yeah.
Yes. No double booking. Definitely no double booking because we've all had that.
Yeah.
We've definitely all have that.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, Zenit, I don't know about you, but I have started a 30-day decluttering challenge.
Ooh, fantastic.
So, I know. So I have already started. Started out with cleaning out the refrigerator the first of the year. Then each day I have the challenge of going through the house in certain areas all the way to the end. And of course, the last day of the month is where we celebrate when we do a good job. Well done.
Awesome.
I think that's another way to get into the decluttering cleaning challenge in your own home, taking a specific area one day at a time. Of course, you could lump or skip or not do it at all, but at least it gives you
got a plan.
An idea. Yeah. You got a plan. There you have it, right?
Yep.
So happy planning, everybody. Yeah. Definitely happy planning. We've shared a lot of ideas about how to plan this year. We'd love to hear how you plan. You can let us know by commenting on this podcast.
So thank you for joining us today. Please be sure to follow the podcast and leave us a written review.
Remember that new episodes come out every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And don't forget to take a second to follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you will never miss a new episode. Join us again next week for more organizing ideas and tips. Until next week.